This is the reading for October 17th. Ezekiel chapter 17. The Lord spoke his word to me, saying, Human, give a riddle and tell a story to the people of Israel. Say, this is what the Lord God says. A giant eagle with big wings and long feathers of many different colors came to Lebanon and took hold of the top of a cedar tree. He pulled off the top branch and brought it to a land of traders, where he planted it in a city of traders. The eagle took some seed from the land and planted it in a good field near plenty of water. He planted it to grow like a willow tree. It sprouted and became a low vine that spread over the ground. The branches turned toward the eagle, but the roots were under the eagle. So the seed became a vine, and its branches grew, sending out leaves. But there was another giant eagle with big wings and many feathers. The vine then bent its roots toward this eagle. It sent out its branches from the area where it was planted toward the eagle so he could water it. It had been planted in a good field by plenty of water so it could grow branches and give fruit. It could have become a fine vine. Say to them, this is what the Lord God says. The vine will not continue to grow. The first eagle will pull up the vine's roots and strip off its fruit. Then the vine and all its new leaves will dry up and die. It will not take a strong arm or many people to pull the vine up by its roots. Even if it is planted again, it will not continue to grow. It will completely dry up and die when the east wind hits it in the area where it grew. Then the Lord spoke his word to me, saying, Say now to the people who refuse to obey, Do you know what these things mean? Say, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem and took the king and important men of Jerusalem and brought them to Babylon. Then he took a member of the family of the king of Judah and made an agreement with him, forcing him to take an oath. The king also took away the leaders of Judah to make the kingdom weak so it would not be strong again. Then the kingdom of Judah could continue only by keeping its agreement with the king of Babylon. But the king of Judah turned against the king of Babylon by sending his messengers to Egypt and asking them for horses and many soldiers. Will the king of Judah succeed? Will the one who does such things escape? He cannot break the agreement and escape. As surely as I live, says the Lord God, he will die in Babylon, in the land of the king who made him king of Judah. The king of Judah hated his promise to the king of Babylon and broke his agreement with him. The king of Egypt, with his mighty army and many people, will not help the king of Judah in the war. The Babylonians will build devices to attack the cities and to kill many people. The king of Judah showed that he hated the promise by breaking the agreement. He promised to support Babylon, but he did all these things, so he will not escape. So this is what the Lord God says, As surely as I live, this is true. I will pay back the king of Judah for hating my promise and breaking my agreement. I will spread my net over him, and he will be caught in my trap. Then I will bring him to Babylon, where I will punish him for the unfaithful acts he did against me. All the best of his soldiers who escape will die by the sword, and those who live will be scattered to every wind. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord God says, I myself will also take a young branch from the top of a cedar tree, and I will plant it. I will cut off a small twig from the top of the tree's young branches, and I will plant it on a very high mountain. I will plant it on the high mountain of Israel. Then it will grow branches and give fruit and become a great cedar tree. Birds of every kind will build nests in it and live in the shelter of the tree's branches. Then all the trees in the countryside will know that I am the Lord. I will bring down the high tree and make the low tree tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree grow. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. Ezekiel chapter 18. The Lord spoke his word to me, saying, What do you mean by using this saying about the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and that caused the children to grind their teeth from the sour taste. As surely as I live, says the Lord God, this is true. You will not use this saying in Israel anymore. Every living thing belongs to me. The life of the parent is mine, and the life of the child is mine. The person who sins is the one who will die. Suppose a person is good and does what is fair and right. He does not eat at the mountain places of worship. He does not look to the idols of Israel for help. He does not have sexual relations with his neighbor's wife or with a woman during her time of monthly bleeding. He does not mistreat anyone, but returns what was given as a promise for a loan. He does not rob other people. He gives bread to the hungry and clothes to those who have none. He does not lend money to get too much interest or profit. He keeps his hand from doing wrong. He judges fairly between one person and another. He lives by my rules and obeys my laws faithfully. Whoever does these things is good and will surely live, says the Lord God. But suppose this person has a wild son who murders people and who does any of these other things, but the father himself has not done any of these things. This son eats at the mountain places of worship. He has sexual relations with his neighbor's wife. He mistreats the poor and needy. He steals and refuses to return what was promised for a loan. He looks to idols for help. He does things which I hate. He lends money for too much interest and profit. Will this son live? No, he will not live. He has done all these hateful things, so he will surely be put to death. He will be responsible for his own death. Now suppose this son has a son who has seen all his father's sins, but after seeing them, does not do those things. He does not eat at the mountain places of worship. He does not look to the idols of Israel for help. He does not have sexual relations with his neighbor's wife. He does not mistreat anyone or keep something promised for a loan or steal. He gives bread to the hungry and clothes to those who have none. He keeps his hand from doing wrong. He does not take too much interest or profit when he lends money. He obeys my laws and lives by my rules. He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live. But his father took other people's money unfairly and robbed his brother and did what was wrong among his people. So he will die for his own sin. But you ask, why is the son not punished for the father's sin? The son has done what is fair and right. He obeys all my rules, so he will surely live. The person who sins is the one who will die. A child will not be punished for a parent's sin, and a parent will not be punished for a child's sin. Those who do right will enjoy the results of their own goodness. Evil people will suffer the results of their own evil. But suppose the wicked stop doing all the sins they have done and obey all my rules and do what is fair and right. Then they will surely live. They will not die. Their sins will be forgotten because they have done what is right. They will live. I do not really want the wicked to die, says the Lord God. I want them to stop their bad ways and live. But suppose good people stop doing good and do wrong and do the same hateful things the wicked do. Will they live? All their good acts will be forgotten because they became unfaithful. They have sinned, so they will die because of their sins. But you say, what the Lord does isn't fair. Listen, people of Israel, I am fair. It is what you do that is not fair. When good people stop doing good and do wrong, they will die because of it. They will die because they did wrong. When the wicked stop being wicked and do what is fair and right, they will save their lives. Because they thought about it and stopped doing all the sins they had done, they will surely live. They will not die. But the people of Israel still say, what the Lord does isn't fair. People of Israel, I am fair. It is what you do that is not fair. So I will judge you, people of Israel. I will judge each of you by what you do, says the Lord God. Change your hearts and stop all your sinning, so sin will not bring your ruin. Get rid of all the sins you have done and get for yourselves a new heart and a new way of thinking. Why do you want to die, people of Israel? I do not want anyone to die, says the Lord God. So change your hearts and lives so you may live.
The Book of Acts, Chapter 25.
3 days after Festus took over his duties in the province of Judea, he went from the city of Caesarea to Jerusalem. The chief priests and the other important Jewish leaders informed Festus about their charges against Paul. They were urging Festus to do them the favor of having Paul brought to Jerusalem. the Jews had a plan to ambush and kill Paul as he traveled to Jerusalem. Festus replied that he would be returning to Caesarea soon and would keep Paul there. He told them, "Have your authorities come to Caesarea with me and accuse him there if the man has done something wrong." Festus stayed in Jerusalem for 8 or 10 days at the most and then returned to Caesarea. The next day, Festus took his place in court and summoned Paul. When Paul entered the room, the Jews who had come from Jerusalem surrounded him. They made a lot of serious accusations that they couldn't prove. Paul defended himself by saying, "I haven't broken any Jewish law or done anything against the temple or the emperor." But Festus wanted to do the Jews a favor, so he asked Paul, "Are you willing to go to Jerusalem to be tried there on these charges, with me as your judge?" Paul said, "I am standing in the emperor's court where I must be tried. I haven't done anything wrong to the Jews, as you know very well. If I am guilty and have done something wrong for which I deserve the death penalty, I don't reject the idea of dying. But if their accusations are untrue, no one can hand me over to them as a favor. I appeal my case to the emperor." Festus discussed the appeal with his advisors and then replied to Paul, "You have appealed your case to the emperor, so you'll go to the emperor." Later, King Agrippa and Bernice came to the city of Caesarea to welcome Festus. Since they were staying there for a number of days, Festus told the king about Paul's case. Festus said, "Felix left a man here in prison. When I went to Jerusalem, the chief priests and the Jewish leaders brought me some information about him and asked me to condemn him. I replied to them, 'That's not the Roman way of doing things. A person can't be sentenced as a favor. Before he is sentenced, he must face his accusers and have a chance to defend himself against their accusation.' So the Jewish leaders came to Caesarea with me. The next day, I immediately convened court and summoned the man. When his accusers stood up, they didn't accuse him of the crimes I was expecting. They were disputing with him about their own religion and about some man named Jesus who had died. But Paul claimed that Jesus is alive. Their debate about these things left me puzzled. So I asked Paul if he would like to go to Jerusalem to have his case heard there. But Paul appealed his case. He asked to be held in prison and to have His Majesty the Emperor decide his case. So I ordered him to be held in prison until I could send him to the emperor. Agrippa told Festus, "I would like to hear the man." Festus replied, "You'll hear him tomorrow." The next day, Agrippa and Bernice entered the auditorium with a lot of fanfare. Roman army officers and the most important men of the city entered the auditorium with them. Festus gave the order, and Paul was brought into the auditorium. Then Festus said, "King Agrippa and everyone who is present with us, all the Jews in Jerusalem and Caesarea have talked to me about this man you see in front of you. They shout that he must not be allowed to live any longer. However, I don't think that he has done anything to deserve the death penalty. But since he made an appeal to His Majesty the Emperor, I have decided to send him to Rome. But I don't have anything reliable to write our emperor about him. So I have brought him to all of you, and especially to you, King Agrippa. Then I'll have something to write after he is cross-examined. I find it ridiculous to send a prisoner to Rome when I can't specify any charges against him."